Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Ken Miller, managing editor of Las Vegas Weekly. Thanks for being here.
And Harry Potter fan.
And Harry Potter fan, yes, exactly. And that's why Ken is here, because Ken is a Harry Potter connoisseur, more so than I am, I think. And this week's big release, of course, is the sixth Harry Potter film, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which follows Harry and his friends as they do with the thing that they do. They do some magic, and they try to find out some stuff about Voldemort. And not a whole lot happens in this movie, I think, until maybe the last half hour or so, where the plot really kicks into gear. This is the second-to-last story. It's the second-to-last book, although the final book will be adapted into two movies. So this really is, to me, I compared it to sort of like the penultimate episode of a TV series, like right before the big season finale, and it's all just putting things into place. And I think in that sense it works, but as a standalone piece, it's a little, I think, unsatisfying.
Well, I mean, as we sit here, doing this podcast, the movie has already broken box office records. So,
oh, well, sure.
Obviously, whatever we say is kind of beside the point. It's probably going to be the biggest hit of the year, if not, one of the biggest hits of all time, I would say. I think it's going to do very well. But I, as someone who has read the books and followed the series pretty religiously through the progress of the whole thing, it seems like we're still faced with that problem that you just can't possibly fit a movie in a Potter movie into one 2.5-3 hour block. It just doesn't. You can't get all the nuances that are really required to really tell the story correctly.
Right.
And as a result, this movie for me, as someone who's read the books, it still fell short. It felt very incomplete. It felt very rushed in certain parts, whereas in other parts it was dragging. Kind of a mixed bag, but I'm still heartily recommending it to Potter fans. I mean, it looks fantastic. The special effects are, probably better than I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Production-wise, very satisfactory. But a lot of holes that I thought could have been done a little better with a little more time, which, given the fact they had 6 more months, kind of surprised me. But.
Well, I mean, I don't think they were going back into production for those 6 months when the movie was delayed.
True,
was
but,
gonna come out last
but
year.
I had the feeling that maybe they could have gone back and mess with some footage that might have been shot and maybe kind of put it together differently. I don't know. Maybe in my warped universe, these things happen, but maybe that was all they had. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know about that, but as someone who's not read the book, I mean, I've read the first book, but I haven't read any of the subsequent ones, so I come to this only having seen the films. It didn't feel incomplete to me. I mean, I wouldn't have wanted it to be longer. I did feel like the plot wasn't really moving forward very much until the end. And what you get instead, I think, of the plot moving forward is a lot of the stuff about relationships, about Harry, he falls in love with Ginny Weasley, the sister of Ron, and Ron, he gets his little girlfriend, and Hermione is in love with Ron, and all this kind of silly teen romance stuff, which I thought was fun and entertaining, but there was about enough of it. I mean, by the end of the movie, I thought, okay, this is good. I mean, I never felt like anything was missing, and maybe there's some great stuff that I just don't know about, but it didn't feel to me like it was rushed or incomplete.
On the relationship front, before you and I saw this movie, I said to you, that I was hoping that they weren't going to overdo the relationship, because in the book, I thought it went way over the top. I thought they actually did that part very well in this movie.
I agree.
Very well, and also with some humor that I thought worked extremely well.
Yeah,
much more effective humor in this film, I think, than other Potter films I've seen.
Yeah, I can't remember there being much humor at all in any of the other Harry Potter films, or very, very, very little.
Well, it's there. It's just in this movie, it's a lot more. I don't want to say pandering to the audience, but a lot more blatant, where it's being done for laughs, and you're supposed to laugh.
But it's effective. It's funny.
But it does work.
I enjoyed it.
It does work. But I thought the relationship was just the right balance, because you don't want to overdo, the relationships when you're in this universe where, it's life or death, and we might be dead soon. But let's spend more than half the movie on relationships and making sure that everyone gets together and hooks up. I thought it was done very appropriately, and it didn't feel overdone. What I was referring to in terms of incompleteness are certain aspects that really kind of flesh out the whole Voldemort story.
Right.
Regarding the flashback sequences, there are several in the book that are extremely revealing, and very interesting and dark and, you know, kind of sinister. And I thought would have added a lot more to the film had they been in there.
Right.
And I don't want to go into a lot of detail because there are people who haven't read the books, don't know what twist is coming at the end. So I can't go into too much detail, but there's also not a lot done with the book that Harry finds that belongs to the Half-Blood Prince.
Right. That's true. That did seem a little...
The book has a much bigger role in who the Half-Blood Prince is in the book than it really did in this movie. It almost seemed kind of like an afterthought to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was a little disappointed in that regard, but... You know, I feel like I'm nitpicking at this point because overall, you know, I mean, you got 2.5 hours. You gotta do what you can.
Right.
I really am confused at the inclusion at the beginning of the train station sequence, which I thought was just completely unnecessary.
Really? See, I mean,
where Harry flirts with the waitress.
Right.
I just, you know.
I mean, I liked that. I don't know if that's in the book or not, but I mean, I think all of that stuff does a good job of really humanizing these characters, and that we're leading up to this big, huge finale. And I haven't read the final book, but my guess is these final movies will be kind of all action and all plot to get to the end and the big battle between Harry and Voldemort. So in the meantime, while we have some time, I like the idea of seeing these people as people and understanding that, sure, Harry may be the chosen one and he's got to save the world and all this stuff, but really he wants to go flirt with a waitress and hook up with Ginny and all that stuff. And I really liked that aspect of it because again, the things aren't moving at such a rapid pace towards the big climax that we can take a moment and see who these people are and care about them as more than just elements of the plot that are sort of being moved around like chess pieces. So I liked all that stuff. And as far as the flashbacks go, I mean, maybe there was more important information that I'm missing, but I felt like I learned enough about Voldemort and his past to get a sense of who he is and things like that, again, leading up to the next installment. But I agree about the book. I mean, there's a lot of it sort of seems very ominous, the book that belongs to the Half-Blood Prince, and obviously it's in the title and you think it's going to be really important. And it comes up a little, but it does seem a little anticlimactic at the end when you find out who is the Half-Blood Prince, and then the book is just kind of, and I don't know what happens to it later if it comes up, but it did seem a little anticlimactic. And I felt like that in the previous movie, too, with the Order of the Phoenix, where finding out about the Order of the Phoenix seemed like a sort of anticlimactic thing. And maybe just because it's in the title doesn't necessarily make it the most important thing in the movie.
Right.
But yeah, no, you're right. That was a little frustrating.
I mean, it will be interesting to eventually go back and watch these movies, you know, like you would with The Lord of the Rings, and kind of see the progression and how things, you know, and get away from the books for a while and maybe kind of reconsider them. And I kind of almost wish I hadn't read the book because I think, in my opinion, The Half-Blood Prince is the best of the series.
The best book?
The best book. And so that was kind of why my expectations were so high. But then at the same time, I thought to myself, there's no way they're going to be able to put this whole book into one movie. There's just no way. And it's also disappointing that the filmmakers only now realized, gosh, maybe it's a good idea to break these books into two different films so we can actually, like, do justice to them. And they wait to the last book to do that. So,
well, I mean, I think there's so many of these that if they had broken, like, this one into two films or the previous ones, or once the books become really, really, really long, and we ended up with, like, 12 Harry Potter films or something, I think that would just get so tiresome. And furthermore, the actors are getting older and they really got to make these movies quickly before they don't look like the age of the characters anymore. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine that they're splitting that last one up, but I don't think I would have wanted to see 10 or 12. I think we've got enough Harry Potter movies already.
Well, I mean, you know, part of me agrees with you, but the other part thinks these Harry Potter fans will watch as many films as you put in front of them. I mean, they just can't get enough of this guy.
Yeah.
So, and the story, so.
Maybe so. I don't know. I mean, I think also the sort of obsession with everything that was in the book having to be in the movie. I mean, I think in general, when you adapt a book or any sort of source material into a movie, the idea that you have to be completely slavish and have sort of a one-to-one correspondence with everything that's in the source material, I think can be harmful because a movie is not a book, a movie is not a play, it's not a video game, it's not a whatever.
Of course.
So, I mean, I think it's fine for them to streamline and take things out that may not be cinematic or may not fit in with the vision that they're doing. And the book is still there, and you can go read the book and get all of the rich material.
Which I would encourage everyone to do.
Yeah, right. Which, yeah, and there you go, and I have not. And but obviously, that stuff is valuable. So I don't know. I mean, I think the strategy that they're pursuing is probably the right one. And obviously most fans are pleased. And mm-hmm. I think J.K. Rowling, the author of the books, is generally pleased. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's about all you can ask for.
Yes. And you know, before we move on, just, I mean, a few scenes in the movie were almost exactly as you would envision them while you're reading the book. The first and foremost being the cave scene toward the end,
right? Which is a very impressive scene.
Where Dumbledore and Harry, you know, go to find. And again, I can't give too much away for people who haven't seen
it. A really important object.
But they're going to find something that's important, and it is. I mean, it's extremely effective. I mean, you know, I jumped out of my seat even though I knew what was coming, and it just visually amazing. I mean, I can't imagine this having the same impact on TV, on video. It's just, it was a very amazing scene. So that, I mean, it's, you know, fans will love that. But you know, I mean, other things did seem rushed. The ending, I thought, seemed a bit rushed.
Maybe a little bit.
I wish I could go into more detail.
Right,
I can't.
We don't want to spoil.
But again, it does, or at least it made me kind of look forward to the final film.
Yeah.
It did set that up very well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to the big finale, and the stakes are clearly raised there at the end, which I think is important for them to do. So, I like that cave sequence as well. And overall, I liked this movie. I mean, I gave it 3 out of 5 stars in my review. I don't think it's the best in the series, but I think it's very entertaining. And if you like the Potter movies, whether or not you've read the books, if you like these movies, I think you'll enjoy this and it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think I read in your review is that, or maybe we just talked about this, that you feel that films should kind of be a standalone, you know, they should stand on their own merits instead
of
being
if it could,
lined up as part of a larger series.
Right.
Which, you know, I can see that point, but at the same time, with any kind of like, you know, series of books of fiction like Lord of the Rings or this, there almost kind of has to be a certain loyalty to the book. You can't just try to make the movie its own movie without having, you know, to reference the fact that another one is coming up.
Right.
So,
right.
You know,
well,
kind of
I mean,
that expectation up.
That's true. But I think any sort of entity like this, I mean, even the book would hopefully stand alone as a story. And I think maybe part of it is that in the early Harry Potter movies, in maybe the first 3 or so movies, there is a standalone story in each movie. It's like everything, the big plot is moving forward, but there's some sort of mystery that's introduced at the beginning and is resolved at the end. And I think in the last couple movies, we haven't really gotten that. We haven't gotten a standalone plot along with the overall narrative about Harry versus Voldemort. And I mean, and I understand why that happens, because we need to get to the big – the closer we get to the big finale, the more we have to focus on it. But at the same time, I do think it's frustrating. I mean, and any movies like that that's a series, I think if you watch a movie where you're thinking this whole movie is just a big old setup for the sequel, and that doesn't mean that everything has to be resolved at the end, but if there's not a plot that is sort of self-contained, I think that can be frustrating. I mean, and again, I liked this movie, but I do think that's frustrating.
And another thing that I was thinking about was that having read the final book now and knowing how the series is going to end, because I remember you'd also said that you were a little bit annoyed that Voldemort isn't even in this movie.
That's
and,
true.
And it kind of is – it's hard to get into without giving too much away, but a lot of the purpose of this film was to kind of set up, you know, Harry Potter figuring out exactly who he is and figuring out where in the grand scheme of things everything fits into place. I mean, there's a lot that's happening that doesn't seem to make sense to some people who haven't read the book right now, but it will make sense in the final film, which is unfortunate because a lot of people, I think, like you, are going to go, well, this is kind of strange that they wouldn't have a protagonist in this, a Voldemort
villain,
character.
Yeah,
a villain,
yeah, right.
Antagonist, sorry.
Yes.
And yeah, it's a little confusing because it's mostly exposition. It's mostly, okay, here, this goes here, this goes here. You were meant to do this, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, a lot of it's just going to be patience and waiting for the final thing, and
right,
then look, standing back and looking at it, you know, from a larger
perspective.
As a whole,
and you'll see. Yeah, and I'm okay with that. But I think when I'm sitting down to just watch this movie, and at the end of this movie, I'm not going to go watch another movie right away. There's a level of dissatisfaction that comes along with it. So.
Right. And one more thing I'll say, and I was very frustrated to go on Rotten Tomatoes and see that this had already been used by somebody else, because I thought about it while I was watching the movie, even though I wasn't thinking about it as I was reading the books, is that this is kind of the series Empire Strikes Back. I mean,
right,
it's definitely a downer.
Yes.
You will not leave this movie feeling happy. You know, it's dark. So
yeah,
just to prepare everyone for that, it's not like the other Potter films.
Right, there's things seem very dire at the end.
Even more so than Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah. So definitely. So one thing I think that I wonder about that I've been reading online, it seems like a lot, and this movie has been very, very well reviewed for the most part. Given the change in rules for the Academy Awards this year, where they're going to now nominate 10 films for Best Picture, and there's a lot of speculation that that is meant to include more populist films, for example, The Dark Knight from last year that was very, very popular but didn't get a nomination. And I wonder, do you think that this movie will be nominated for Best Picture?
I was thinking as we were watching the movie, I think there's a possibility it could.
Yeah.
I definitely do. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't laugh. I would, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's possible that it would happen, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good movie, but it just doesn't seem like a best of the year kind of thing to me. But I don't know.
A lot of other nominations it will definitely get that it normally would have.
The
cinematography, the production, the costumes. I mean, it is a very impressive looking movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you know, I wouldn't, like I said, I would not be surprised. I mean, of the summer films so far, That's the one I would pick.
Really?
If I was going to
Star Trek? Which would still, yeah. That would be my, I would love to see Star Trek.
I would pick it over Star Trek.
Yeah. So. All right.
But I can also say in the spirit of The Lord of the Rings, where they waited till the series was over to give it every single Academy Award it was nominated for.
Right.
I think it's safe to say that the final film or films will probably be nominated.
Yeah. And I mean, I think having not seen those movies yet, obviously, but I think that might make more sense where things really fall into place. But hey, I think if this ends up getting a nomination, there's no way that it will win. It would be more of a token sort of like, let's bring in mainstream fans kind of thing. And some much less popular movie will probably...
You know, we could have a whole podcast on how I feel about this whole Academy change.
Oh, okay.
Because I think it's ridiculous.
Well, I kind of agree that it's ridiculous too. But in this case, it may help the Harry Potter movie. So,
yeah. I mean, it's a somber, heavy movie, and it has, you know, it has some weight to it. I mean, people who don't know what's coming may shed a tear. I mean, it's very possible.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
That's true. It does have that weight to it, and that may be the reason why the Academy would take it more seriously. I don't know. I would say that this is not even my favorite of the Potter series. I think
What is your favorite?
I mean, I think I like the third film the most, the Prisoner of Azkaban that Alfonso Cuarón directed. And I think that was the first. I mean, after Chris Columbus left, and he did these two very bright, kind of light, fun movies, and that was
which was his job,
right? Yeah, and exactly. And then those movies were entertaining, but I think this was the first time where you saw a little bit of darkness to it.
Azkaban provided that nice bridge where we were going from that happy, light, fun stuff to maybe a little more, you know. Okay, now the story's getting a little serious.
Right, and
I thought Cuarón did a fantastic job. I agree.
Yeah, no, definitely, and I think it felt like. It felt like an auteurist movie more so, I think, than any of the other Potter movies. So that, to me,
certainly,
is the gold standard that I still hold up.
Certainly
for these
had a the most unique look to it of all the Potter films.
Yeah, definitely the look, and it was creepy and
the weakest. I mean, I'm not sure what my favorite would be in terms of, you know, of the overall quality, but I can say what my least favorite is, which is Order of the Phoenix.
Yeah,
I thought, especially after reading the book, I mean, very condensed, very. Just very unsatisfactory to me.
Yeah.
And just as a movie and as an adaptation of a book.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. And I think more so than this current one, that movie to me felt like a placeholder, and it didn't seem to have much of anything to offer in terms of fleshing out the world or the story. And this one is an improvement on that, I think. Definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
All right, so Harry Potter, pretty much everything that people are going to be thinking about.
Everyone's going to go see it, so you don't need me to tell you. As Josh said, he gave it 3 out of 5. I would probably give it 3.5 out of 5.
3.5, yeah. But I mean, definitely, I think recommended on both our parts to check out.
But if you haven't read the book, I might give it 4. If you had read the book, 3.5.
All right. Well, that's fair. So there is some other stuff going on coming up on DVD on Tuesday. Actually, another one of the biggest. Most highly anticipated movies of the year, which ended up being something of a disappointment, I think, as a movie as well as at the box office. But Watchmen is coming out on DVD. And this was a movie that I found frustrating. And I was in the position of having read the source material. It's a classic graphic novel that I've read a few times, and it's excellent.
Love that book.
And this was a movie where they tried so hard to remain faithful to the letter of it. I mean, recreating
about the whole Potter thing.
Exactly. And this is, I think, a perfect example of this, where they're working so hard to make it look exactly like the graphic novel. I mean, camera angles that mimic the panels and bits of dialogue and stuff. And they really, I think, lost the spirit of it in a lot of ways. Zack Snyder, who made this film,
Well, here's my crazy question on Watchmen. I actually appreciated the fact that they were trying to stay so faithful to it. I mean, as I hit the halfway mark, I'm thinking, if they really are going to do this, this is going to be one long movie.
Yes,
it was 2.5 hours. But even so, to be that faithful to it and then to change the ending so radically, just to me seemed to be such a colossal blunder. I just couldn't figure out why they would do that.
See, I actually liked the changed ending, and I think this is a case where the ending as it was in the book would probably not have worked in a movie. And since you're making a movie and not a comic book, that they created something that I thought actually did capture pretty much the spirit of the ending while still doing something that worked better in a movie. I mean, I think other aspects of this movie were frustrating in that it felt like there were sort of fetishizing the violence of it, whereas the book is really about critiquing violence.
Actually, yeah, I agree with you. The violence in this book did not mimic the story. It actually overdid it.
Right.
I mean, a perfect example is when Rorschach kills the child molester, the child killer.
Yeah, it's very not
at all
graphic,
like in the book, and overdone so much that it lost any power to me.
Yeah,
I mean the way they did it in the book was just so subtle and so like, you know, you're like, oh my god, I can't believe he just did that. But in this movie, it was like so over the top. You're like, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
So I was very confused by Watchmen overall.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I think it has an interesting look. I mean, it's technically well-crafted, and Zack Snyder obviously knows what he's doing from that standpoint. But I think, especially if you've read the book, if you're a fan, I think it's a definite disappointment for something that had been for so long anticipated as a film with all sorts of different directors who were going to possibly be bringing it to the screen. If you've not read the graphic novel, I think you might enjoy this more as simply a straightforward superhero piece that's a little bit of a deconstruction, but not as much as the book.
I have not seen the details on this DVD. Is this going to have the additional footage that was not in the theaters?
Well, what this is, and it's, of course, they're trying to milk as much as they possibly can. So what this is I assume it includes the original theatrical cut, which is about 2.5 hours. And there's a director's cut on here, which restores a lot of footage. I think including one particular sequence where one character is killed, and I don't want to give away too much, but something that I think a lot of people were frustrated was left out. And I think it's about 3 hours. But there's other supplementary material that came out on DVD right around the time the movie did.
Black Freighter.
The Black Freighter, the animated film, as well as Under the Hood. And that is not on this DVD. However, I think in December, there's going to be a super deluxe edition released with all that stuff. So if you loved the movie, you might want to wait to buy it on DVD until the really super big, like, 5-disc version that comes out in December. But for now, this at least is the chance to see the director's cut, so maybe some more material than was in theaters. So if you liked the movie, again, it might be worth a rental. But
well, and when they add back in the Black Freighter, they're also going to add in the bookending newsstand sequences where the boy is reading the comic book and fading in and out.
Yeah, I think right. So. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they can integrate all that together when that eventually comes out in December.
And I actually enjoyed Under the Hood. I thought that was very well done.
It was
a little, to me, it was kind of what the movie was missing, which was a bit more of an exploration into who these people are,
right,
which is what it really needed.
That's true, although it was a lot of exposition-y exploration into
true.
Who the people were.
True, but you kind of need that to some degree to say who the characters are.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think overall as a package, pretty much everything that's been done with this movie to me has been a bit of a disappointment. So
yeah.
I wanted
to like it a lot.
I did too, but I think I've kind of burned out on it, and I really am not excited to see this director's cut or whatever the ridiculous super long cut.
Although I will say, if you haven't seen it, there are certain scenes in the movie where you will be impressed. I mean,
it is
well done at certain times. It's just the overall effect, you're kind of left thinking, you know, they blew it. That's the way I thought.
Right.
It.
No,
they
agree.
They blew it.
But if you haven't seen it, it might be worth the rental. A few other things coming up on DVD that I do want to recommend more strongly than Watchmen. Coraline, which is one of my favorite movies of 2009, the stop-motion animated film by Henry Selick, who made The Nightmare Before Christmas and James and the Giant Peach. It's based on a novel by Neil Gaiman, and it's just a very well-made, evocative, sort of fairy tale-like story. I mean, it's appropriate for kids, but it's definitely not just a kid's movie. It's dark and creepy at times, but it's got a nice whimsy to it, and it's visually just amazing, the stop-motion animation. That's out on DVD, and I think absolutely I recommend checking that out. A film I saw at Cinevegas several years ago, I think maybe in 2005 or 2006, called The Ring Finger, with Olga Kurylenko, who went on to be a James Bond girl in a lot of action movies, and this is not in any way an action movie. It's also sort of a sort of creepy, almost fairy tale like story about this woman who works in a factory and she cuts off part of her finger, and it leads to this sort of weird odyssey. And I honestly don't remember that many plot details of it at the moment, but I remember it being very creepy and unsettling and yet kind of profound when I saw it, again, in a film festival setting. So it's taken a long time for this to come out, and I think that's one that is worth seeking out. Also the second season of Pushing Daisies, which is a great, great show that's been canceled since, but it was an ABC show from Brian Fuller, who is the creator of Dead Like Me and Wonder Falls, and it's a very whimsical, also fairy tale-like sort of series about a guy who brings dead people back to life, but only for 1 minute.
In my opinion, one of the best-looking series of all time.
It does. It looks amazing, the production design, and just the creativity of it that goes into the sort of vision that accompanies the theme of every episode.
It's impossible to imagine this show without thinking that it was influenced by Tim Burton and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. So. But I think it forges its own identity beyond that. It's a lot less dark than like a Tim Burton movie.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's very whimsical, but it's very sweet.
Yeah, very sweet and entertaining and funny and well-acted, and just very sad that the show was canceled. And the final episode has this sort of tacked on wrap up at the end that explains everything, whatever's going to happen to the characters. That's a little disappointing, although it is going to be continued in a comic book series at some point in the future, which I don't know how that'll work, but it will be from Brian Fuller, the original creator. So hopefully that'll be good. But in the meantime, if you didn't see it on TV and it was kind of moved around the schedule and put on and put off, the whole season 2 is out on DVD.
Well, a movie can't be far behind then.
So. I hope so. I would love to see a movie version or any sort of continuation, because it was a great show that was canceled before its time. So all that stuff, a bunch of good stuff. There's been a bunch of crap on DVD the last several weeks. And so here, all sorts of good stuff that's worth renting or buying on DVD. And go see Harry Potter in theaters. So a good week for movies.
Yeah, I would say so. And there's still a lot of holdovers that are well worth seeing.
Oh, so. Absolutely. Yeah, a lot of stuff out right now in theaters. It's definitely a good time to go to the movies. So my thanks to Ken Miller for joining me this week. And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything!
That's right!